Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation. You might say that our guest today had her life laid out for her before she was even born. Today, Lindsay Snyder Ellingson, mom and owner of In-N-Out Burger, is going to talk about what it's like balancing family life and family business. Stay with us. This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Krulaitis, your host, and welcome to the Moms for America podcast. So glad that you're joining us, moms. Every episode, we get together to inspire, encourage, and educate moms in their journey through motherhood. Well, all right. You got to know this one, In-N-Out Burger. Well, it's one of the most popular fast food restaurants in the country. To date, they have over 420 locations in mostly Western states. Our guest, Lindsay Snyder Ellingson, is the owner and the president of In-N-Out Burger, which has been in her family since before she was born. Lindsay, welcome to the Moms for America podcast. Boy, are we glad to have you with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So fun. I mean, all of us, you know, my weakness is burger, fries, and a shake. So, I mean, every time, none here in Illinois, but every time I can get a burger, fry, and a shake, I just absolutely love it. So, boy, everybody across the country surely does love your product. Can you tell us a little bit real quickly about your family? You're a mom of four. You know, we got the mamas listening. They always like to get some info and kind of get introduced to your tribe a little bit.
Yeah, I have twins, a boy and girl, when they're 18. One just left for college, and
oh,
the other one,
that was tough.
Yeah, and then the other one is working for the family business and has been doing so for a while, actually. And then I have a 14-year-old boy and a 10-year-old boy.
Yeah, so you're busy.
Yeah.
All you've got to hear is that. And the moms are going, okay, she's busy, because you kind of have one in different age groups there a little
yeah.
bit, and up to college and all that fun stuff. So how do you balance your work and being a mom? It's kind of one of those things when you start talking about kids and, you know, being a president of a large, successful business. How do you balance that? You know, because momming comes first, I know.
Yeah. It's a lot. You know, I definitely think that, you know, keeping the priorities straight and the top of mind each day is huge. You know, of course, for me, it's God, my husband, my kids, and then all the other things. And, you know, biblically speaking, that's, you know, the order we're supposed to keep. And I think that there's always this shifting where you're trying to keep it that way. And it might go a little bit one way and another way, and you have to, you know, kind of recalculate, things. But, I know, you know, I haven't done it completely alone, so I can't take all the credit. I have had, you know, some help, but it's been, it's something where, you know, I've never wanted, my kids to not have me at all the important things, you know, back to school night or first day of school or, you know, sporting things, all of those things I've made sure to make a priority and be there. But you know, there's just only so much I can do. And I know that God has called me to a lot, so he'll get me through it.
Yeah.
But for sure, my family comes before all those other things. And so it's just a lot of, intentional planning and sometimes canceling things and adding some time in with my kids where we can just get those special moments.
Yeah, it is. Life is nothing but a balance as a mom, right? You are not only you are the president of a great business, but you're the CEO of your home. You know, you're the one that decides what happens and where the kids go and what they do. And it is running this incredible, I guess, just treasure to have your home.
Yeah. Now, you know, we don't have help as much. You know, I'll call on my sisters from time to time because they have grandkids now. And so, It's great when the aunties can step in a little bit, but because that ends up being like family time for my kids, so it's special. But yeah, so it's a lot right now, but we're busier than ever with everything at work, with ministry, and the seasons with the kids. There's some lifted pressure having two kids that have graduated, but then having one far away and being like, now how do we connect when she never has to call me?
I mean, it's the challenges continue, and it's hard to let them go. I was just talking on another podcast how it's hard to let them grow up because we just look at them as our kids and our little ones, and it's like all of a sudden they're making big decisions now. At this stage of the game, I'd like to kind of talk a little bit about what it was like for you growing up. You talked about the ministry aspect of this and what got, kind of with the stage of life that you're in now, but you grew up literally in this business. Can you give us our mom just a little bit of background on what that was like?
yeah, I mean, I grew up in Southern California until I was about six, seven. I moved to Northern California and, I didn't really understand all of the things with the family business, at those
Of
ages. So,
course, yeah.
I just knew. When I came to the office when I was little, actually the office we're in right now,
Really?
it looked a little bit different. It was my uncle Rich's office, and he used to just cherish me. He didn't have any children, so I always say that my dad let him borrow me.
I love that.
And I would come in this office, and it was just magical, and my dad's office was down the hall, and so those are some of the memories I have, like growing up here in the business. But then when my dad made the decision to move up to Northern California, 600 miles away, he was really choosing family. He was choosing because his dad was a workaholic, my grandpa.
Right. And
And
when you see that, you kind of you're like, that's not what I want to do,
yeah, his
Right.
dad was abusive. And so he, like, him and his brother were only 18 months apart. And my uncle was very passionate about the company and, was the president. My dad was the vice president. And so I think my dad just kind of made a decision like, you know what? I'm choosing the family and I'm going to move away from this and not fight with my brother and just let him do what he does best. And I'm going to go off and drive tractors on a ranch and raise chickens and cows and have my wife and my baby, So, that's what we did. And I think it was probably a decision that he made that affected my whole life. It was a great decision. And I think being raised up there on a ranch with like no neighbors, 167 acres with lakes
Nice.
and creeks.
You're making us all jealous. You're making us all jealous.
It was amazing. So I grew up there and there were no in and outs. So I was a normal kid up there. And it was really a pretty normal childhood up there. It wasn't until my dad died when I was 17 that I was thrust into the world of now you're part of your identity to everyone else is in and out and everything that comes with that,
Yeah, so actually, I lost my dad right around that age too, and boy, does life look different, especially for the girl. It's like, dad's gone, and what does life look like? And you had no idea that you would probably ever become president of this. I mean,
I didn't have enough time to even think about that being in the future. You know what I mean?
right.
I was
And who's
thinking,
thinking that at 17, right?
I was thinking about the different things I wanted to do. And, I did go and apply and work at, the In-N-Out that opened up in Reading in 1999. And I worked there.
Did you get the job when you applied?
I did.
Did you
I
pull
did. I
any
went through.
strings there?
I went through the interviews and I got the
Okay.
job. The smile, you just
Yeah.
smile a lot
Yeah,
and
they might have
be
been a
friendly.
little they might have been a little partial. Yeah. Okay. So then you right. So now you go and you actually are working in the industry. You're there. What are you doing?
Well, I worked there in the summer. Where we lived in the mountains was about 45 minutes from town from the In-N-Out, so it only worked there to be there in the summer. And then once I started school again, I couldn't continue. And we got to drive through the snow and ice and everything up there. It was awesome. But I think once I moved down here when I was 18, I because my dad had passed, I basically pushed all of the things that I had considered doing aside because I felt the responsibility of, being a part of this and protecting it and growing with it. And, I was 18 and I started working, actually for my grandmother in the office and, would try to procure donations for our Internet Burger Foundation for auction items and things like that.
So you kind of, I'm sure they kind of utilized you wherever they needed you because they looked at you as the up and coming leader at that point.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was an 18-year-old girl in the year 2000, so I mean, you can probably get a picture of what that looks like. I didn't fit the corporate mold in any kind of way.
Right.
And I actually went to school a little bit at some of the junior colleges and then and just took the things I wanted. I wasn't pursuing a degree and then which was a very mixed bag of classes. And then I went to makeup school to become a makeup artist to do beauty and special effects, which was really cool. It's a cool skill to have in my back pocket. I pull it out from time to time. Done more weddings than anything.
So
But
you were kind of on a journey,
yeah.
really, trying to figure out, do I come back? Do I, marriage, mom, becoming a mom, all of those things started to kind of come into your world.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure that it was a journey to kind of figure it out, let alone, often, I guess the stats are a little bit different, but some kids don't want to go back into their to the family business. Some kids do. So when did you get that, I guess, epiphany that this was where you were going to go
Well,
and you were going to give it your all?
I actually never really left. So when I was 17, it was just that time when I went back to school. But once I graduated, I came back. And when I went to makeup school, I went to night school. So it was in Burbank.
Okay.
So I drove out there. And so I was working and going to school. And I think it happened very organically. But then I actually moved into, it's called our company store, but it's where we have all our merchandise. And back then people would fax in orders, call in orders, and all the different ways. And we would fulfill those orders. So I came up with like the new merchandise and worked on our annual t-shirts. And that's actually something I'm still super passionate about just because I love design and have a visionary creative
You're
mind. And so
creative. You're a creative person, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm still very close and connected with that department. It has a piece of my heart, but I managed that for 2 years, which was like, running a little business within a big business. And that was a great experience. It taught me a lot. And so while I was there was when I started, sitting into the operations meetings, the VP meetings, and then, the rest is history.
More with Lindsay, president of In-N-Out Burger, right after this short break. Stay with us. Hi, moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible. And the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning. From free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, if you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their SchoolBox online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit herzogfoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at herzogfoundation.com.
You know, I've never really felt comfortable sharing pictures of my kids on social media. Then I found Tubu, a premium social app with an actual authentic community. No bots, no one trolling me or my family. Just clean, wholesome content you can trust.
All right, moms, welcome back. Before we continue with our interview, I do want to remind everyone to please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your mom friends. Also, if you have any ideas for this podcast, would you please email me at podcast@momsforamerica.net? I'd love to hear from you. Any ideas, stories, guests, all those fun things. Also, I do want to invite all of the moms listening to join the movement here at Moms for America. I surely hope that you are a part of our movement, our sisterhood. We are moms all across the country. We're uniting to fight for faith, family, freedom in the Constitution. How do you join? It's simple. You go to momsforamerica.us. You can fill out the newsletter. You can fill out any of our forms. Someone from our team will contact you. That's it. And then we have a ton of great information to help you support you moms on your journey through motherhood. So check us out there, momsforamerica.us. And here we go, right back to the show. How old were you when the baton was passed or that you became president?
I think 27. Yeah, people ask me this, and for some reason, I always forget. It was
well,
also like the most
I guess
chaotic.
It's a mute point, but it's you were young.
Yeah, I was young.
You were
for
young.
Sure. I wasn't.
And then, and I guess the other thing I'm thinking about now, did you, when you were looking at this, were you looking at preserving, I'm sure, the business and its integrity, or were you looking at maybe new ideas or a combination of both? Like when you were looking at it, you know, in these meetings and knowing that you were going to be leadership, what were your thoughts? Was it like, I want to make sure we maintain the integrity, or hey, I've got some new ideas, or both?
I feel like I feel like a protector in a lot of ways. And so, you know, trying to be responsible and a good steward with what I've been given. And I do feel like, you know, I connect a lot with my grandpa and my dad as far as direction and just more of a conservative approach to growth, or you know, just the I don't know, my uncle was a little bit different. Like my dad and my grandpa were like, okay, we want to own more property than lease. And my uncle was like, let's go, let's grow, let's do this and that. And I think my uncle was a little more open to new things. And he, you know, wanted to wear a suit and tie, where my dad and my grandpa were like, no, we're the working class. We're different. We're hard workers, but we don't need to dress up like that, you know? So, which I'm probably neither. I'm just, I'd say March to be my own drama, I guess, but
well, that's good. It is funny, isn't it? Funny how you see everyone's personalities and how they, you know, bring that to the workplace and the influence that they have. And you talk a lot about faith with your family, and it's obviously a big part of you growing up. We're going to talk about the scriptures and all that. So, your family, just in general, though, to be, you know, to where you are now, was built on a very deep faith in the Lord.
Yes and no. I would say God absolutely protected my like the faith element in the family. And because my grandma was raised Methodist, and so she had her faith, but my grandpa, I mean, as far as I know, he was an atheist. I don't know. He didn't really have any upbringing in the faith. And he accepted the Lord on his deathbed. He had lung cancer. And my uncle became a Christian not long after that. But I mean, my uncle and my dad were raised with, you know, my grandma being a woman of faith. So her influence for sure, you know, planted those seeds deep. So, but they were, you know, grown men, when they came to the faith. And my dad, my whole life, I remember my dad being a believer. But you know, he struggled with substance abuse. And so, you know, he just carried so much guilt, you know, for the failure that was inside of that, and then the pain from his childhood. So it's like he really wrestled with those things and wanted, I think he wanted to be freed, but he was going to the wrong thing, you know, he was numbing himself. So, but
I
my
mean,
mom was a believer, so.
yeah, those tough stories about addiction. Oh, and now we're going to talk about some of the things that you're doing for that. And so sorry to hear that. And it is such a challenge in this society. Especially the tougher the world gets and the culture gets and the pressures of the world. And
Yeah.
we don't, you know, it's so easy to go down that road without without the Lord,
Yeah.
really. You know, it's almost impossible. You've been very transparent, really, on some of the challenges that you've had, just like all of us. And you've grown in an incredible way, both personally, you know, some marriages and some growing and some striving and changing and all of these things. When you look back to kind of like your younger self, what are some of the things that you learned the most, maybe to share with us? Because I love that people's journey brings them somewhere. I love when people's journey, they're not a victim. You know, they're victorious. They've grown, you know, they're shining. I think about the challenges in my life. You know, we want to be better and do things better, but you've had a journey, and it's you share often how some of the things you learned were just huge in your life.
Yeah, gosh. I mean, I feel like you'd have to pick a category for 500 because there's so many different areas. You
Isn't that how
know,
life is? You're so it's so true.
there's so many different areas where I've, you know, learned just huge things. And, you know, in the ministry piece, I mean, I think there's a ton of advice I offer, you know, singles or couples. And then when I think of just life struggles, you know, there's a whole category there. And then, the business side, the leadership side, you know, pick a category and I'll dive into it.
Well, I think maybe just even as a mom, you know, what you've learned and
Yeah.
how that's even changed you, you know, dealing with maybe divorce
Yeah.
or maybe dealing with blended families. I mean, these are some things that every mom that's watching out here has
Yeah.
dealt with, or their sister or their cousin, you
Yeah.
know, so that is a part of life.
Yep.
Failed marriages, blended families, you know, momming it in the
Yep.
midst of all that, and how
Yeah.
you handle that within your own family.
Well, I'll take it one step before the momhood and then I'll go in. So first, I would say, you know, broken people pick broken people, and it's so important to recognize if you have codependency issues before you jump into a relationship, before you start having kids. You know, recognize if there's abuse and trauma that you need to heal from. You know, there's just those things alone need to be hashed out. And I know that's in a perfect world they would be. And sometimes someone's already, okay, well, what if I didn't? Here I am now. And that's where, you know, I was. And I unfortunately was in multiple marriages and divorces before I really got that healing and found that wholeness, where I could, you know, be available to be with someone, or I guess, you know, choose someone that was good for me versus that broken
So
part of
true.
me choosing someone that was not. And it's like you're making the selection out of the wounding, you know. But yeah, that's huge. And then, you know, the divorce part, yeah, it was really hard going through divorces, having kids. And, you know, the first one, luckily I only had dogs.
Oh, you were a
but
dog mom at that point. Yeah.
yeah, but the next two I had kids, so it was really tough. And you know, I
Look how God's restored you, though.
yeah, for sure, for sure. And I go back and do the whole dance with, oh, well, now my kids are dealing with some of the issues with the relationship with their dad or some of those struggles with 18-year-olds. And it's like, you start to beat yourself up and go, well, look who they have. But then you go, wait, we have to stop this right now because they wouldn't be here if you hadn't jumped in a relationship with this person and all of that, So it's, I think one of the big lessons is not to spend time in regret. You can't turn back the hands of time. You can't do it. So don't waste energy and emotions on beating yourself up and hurting. And, I feel like I'm a bit of an empath as well. So I try to, take on this pain and these feelings of my kids. And that also is not going to help. It's not going to take the pain away from them, but there's something in our mind that says, like, well, God, just give it to me, just let me feel it and them not feel it. Now, if that's possible and he can do that, I'm down.
Yeah, that would be every mother's prayer, wouldn't it?
Yeah, for sure. But really looking to God in those moments. And I'm always big on going to the root of the issue. And I think that's so important to me because I didn't for so many years, and I acted out of dealing with what was, I guess, the current pain or situation rather than saying, okay, why are we here? And why do you tolerate the things that you do? Why do you make excuses for other people and justify things? And instead of seeing a red flag.
So true. Hindsight is always, it's easy to look back. And I do think that God brings us through different things. When we don't learn it the first time, He's gracious to let us maybe get it the second time, but by the third time or whatever it is in our lives. I think about that myself. I hate repeating, things that I should have learned the first time. But like you said, there's just, you can't have that regret. You got to say, you got to live in the moment, especially with kids, and the challenges that they're maybe having at home. So you seem like so positive and just such a beautiful testimony. It's great to hear these stories. And so now I want to talk a little bit about the scripture verses because that is so cool. Who picked these? Tell us about why your uncle, that he's is he the one that chose to have these on the product,
So he
the food?
started it. He started it and he did some of the wrappers and the cups. And then and
And why did he, how did he come up with that? I mean, was that just like,
he well, he became a Christian and wanted to, just one, it was a display of his faith and knowing, we're a family business and we can do this. And I think he figured, like, it's tucked under here. It's not like in everybody's face where they can't, like, have their burger without thinking of the Bible. But he was a big Disney fan. So I don't know if he thought of it as like a hidden Mickey or not, but it's, just a kind of a proclamation of his faith. Like, okay,
I love that.
we're going to put this there. And then, of course, I saw opportunity for lots of other places
With your creative
and tucked her
mind,
in there.
yeah. Yeah, and so you then have added on. What were some of the things that you did, or can you share maybe a scripture that is so important to you that you wanted it to be kind of to share with the world? And it's very true. It's very true.
The fry boat. Proverbs 24:16. It's about the righteous falling seven times but getting back up. And so for me, that was just part of my testimony. Always knowing God, but failing miserably so many times. And it's one of those things. Again, like the regret. Like you could look at the different places and moments of failure and go, give up. You've screwed up too much. Or you can go, no, we're going to keep going. I'm just going to believe that God will still use me. So,
Isn't that so true? I guess if we stay humble and let God use us, He really will do great things. And that's what happened has happened under your leadership. Is it 400? I got to look at my scripture. 400
24.
location.
424.
Oh, not just 400. 424. Okay, that is awesome. all across the country.
Yeah.
And we got to get you out to the Midwest here more. And what can we expect from In-N-Out Burger now for the future?
Well, you know, it's not a secret that we're going to Tennessee. So that's there. And then I've also alluded to, you know, we deliver our product to our stores. You know, we don't have freezers, so stuff's going out
It is
constantly. We're
fresh.
getting deliveries every other day at least. And so from Texas, you know, making a delivery to Tennessee. I've mentioned that there are some other states on the way that could be in our
Nice.
future. So,
Oh, wow. I mean, we all love it. And whenever we go there, it really is like a tourist stop. Would you, is that kind of surprising to you that it's kind of like a must stop?
no, it's, you know, the store next to the LAX airport and one of the ones in Vegas are huge tourist like attractions, you know. People, I can't tell you how many people have said, as soon as we land, we go to In-N-Out. And even us, like when we're out of the country or gone for a long time, we're like, okay, yeah, we're having In-N-Out tonight. So
I love that.
yeah, there's something
It's just a piece of home. It's a
yeah.
piece of home. All right, two last questions. I know you're busy and you got a couple other things coming down the pike over there. You've got some foundations, and one of them really probably is related to your dad's experience. Do you want to just mention those two foundations so our audience and our moms would get to know real quick about those so they may look them up and utilize?
Yeah, sure. The In-N-Out Burger Foundation was started in the 80s by my uncle, my grandma, and my mom. My mom was actually instrumental in founding that with them because the story was that my uncle showed up at our house and was just like, he had this epiphany and said to my dad, he's like, Guy, we were abused as kids. And my dad's like, you're just now figuring this out, you know. So my dad was very honest and real. My uncle was very jolly and joyful and just maybe kind of blocked stuff out and was in a little bit of denial, you know. So they were like opposite, you know.
Yeah, sounds like
Yeah,
it.
yeah. So I think that for him to finally realize that, he was just like, man, I want to do something about it. And my mom was super touched and has such a caring philanthropic heart. So, and then of course, so does my grandma. My grandma loved children and just, you know, was always involved in boys and girls clubs or Little League and all, you know, all of the different things in the city. She was involved and helping. So that was something that was started to fight and prevent child abuse
And
and
what was the name of that foundation again?
The In-N-Out Burger Foundation.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's it's amazing because we're able to affect so many lives. We actually support over 400 different nonprofits
Oh,
across
wow.
I would normally say all 8 states, but we just opened our ninth state. And even Tennessee coming the end of this year, we already have foundations, different organizations picked out there because the third part of our mission purpose statement is to assist all of our communities and our marketplace to become stronger, safer, better places to live. So, in doing that, when we go into a new market, we're like, okay, well, we have to find where, you know, the foundations can help. We've got to vet and find these different organizations. And so the other is the Slave to Nothing
Beautiful.
Foundation. And that was started in 2016 by me and my husband. And, you know, when we met, we were very passionate about just the effects of substance abuse and addiction on both of our lives. And, you know, he lost now two brothers, and I lost my father from it. So, we just kind of knew that we were going to do something with that. And so we started going down that road to start a foundation. And God really put it on our hearts to also go after fighting human trafficking. So that's why it's slave, the number two, nothing. And because there's two different things we're going after. And the mission is to free people from being enslaved by any person or substance. And you know, it's just, I don't know, there's a lot of verses that come to mind, but really to heal the brokenhearted, you know, set the captives free, to be a voice for those that don't have a voice. And so, you know, the crazy connection between these foundations is with the In-N-Out Burger Foundation. We see a lot of foster kids. We see a lot of that, and there's a lot of brokenness even in that system. And unfortunately, the statistics of those that have been trafficked, the majority, I think it's something like 90 something percent of them went through the foster system.
Yeah, I've heard
So,
this over and over again.
yeah, so we really feel like, you know, we're trying to stop it and help them and give them hope in a future when they're young. But if some get through the cracks, if some don't find that, then we hope to find them and rescue them later, whether they fall into substance abuse or trafficking, which unfortunately so many of them do. So,
Goes hand in hand. Oh, wow, that is beautiful.
yeah.
So inspiring, so inspiring. Thank you for everything that you're doing. Just closing words of advice, Lindsay, to our moms maybe that are listening, and I don't know, you got the platform, you got the floor. Maybe just for some words of advice to them. We always love to just encourage them because it's not easy.
Yeah.
But it's the greatest gift in the whole wide world, you know, being a mama.
Oh, man, it's tough to whittle it down. I think, you know, we all know that mom guilt is real. So, you know, just know that there's certain things that you shouldn't feel the mom guilt over. You at least have to ignore it. Like one, you know, date night. I say keep your date night like holy with your husband, like a Sabbath. Like make sure you have those, not once a year, like hopefully once a month or
I'm
whatever
going to tell my
is
husband that one.
needed.
I got to make sure I get that one down.
Yes, do it. And you know, knowing it's okay to take time to breathe yourself, because you know, when I look at my schedule, I'm like, well, I can cancel all these things that have to do with me or like that. But then, you know, you get to a place you're like, okay, I don't have to feel guilty to book a pedicure if this is like a moment where I can just breathe and pray and have that, you know. And so, you know, I think there's that piece. There's also just dealing with things, you know. I think sometimes we're so busy and you can get caught up in the hustle or just prioritizing everyone. In that, where you can ignore things that are starting to weigh on your heart, or ignore, you know, pains or whatever, that are there. And so I just think it's always good to, yes, be present, put your phone away when you're with your family at the table, but also just like find that quiet place where God can speak to you. 'Cause I think we're so used to talking and dealing with things. It's important to find that silence where you can just listen.
Amen. And it is true. We as moms, we're always kind of take care of ourselves last. And then always reminded it in us, in order for us to take care, we have to be in the right state of mind.
Yep.
You know, so, well, thank you. You're just adorable. So
Oh,
pretty, so
you.
beautiful. And I mean, I don't know. I'm going to have to do a road trip to get me some In-N-Out burger
Yes.
because no, we gotta do a road trip and get some for everybody that's listening. Maybe they're lucky. Maybe it's in their state, but we'll all be definitely popping in. So
All right. Well, thank you so
thank
much.
you. Thanks for joining us. Boy, how refreshing. What a beautiful interview. I just thank you again, Lindsay, for being so transparent and inspiring. And of course, we're all going to be getting a burger soon. All right, to all of our moms, thank you for being a part of this program. And again, please always check out momsforamerica.us, all of our amazing programs, resources, webinars, seminars. We have it all. We say it always from the kitchen table to Congress, from parental rights to public policy. Moms for America is here to help support you. Again, visit us at momsforamerica.us. And as always, moms, I will see you next week. And in the interim, let's keep changing our country one home at a time. Thanks for joining us. God bless. A special thank you to our sponsors, the Herzog Foundation and Tuvu. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.